Debt is something that I abhor, frankly. I try not to have any debt. I had debt when I was in my 20s and 30s. And I'll be honest with you. Getting rid of credit card debt was a game changer because servicing that debt reduces your opportunities and options to do anything else. The same is true of a nation. When we have $22 trillion in debt and we're paying tens of billions of dollars in interest alone, it reduces our options and it will come back to get us. At some point, the bill is due. At some point, the bill is due. Romina Baccia here, leading fiscal and economic expert at the Heritage Foundation. Romina, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, you can't just ignore the debt forever, and yet here we are looking at a new deal where $320 billion of additional spending is going to happen. The spending cap's been taken off. Donald Trump wanted to help the military, and the Democrats wanted to help themselves to more. It's like pigs at the trough, and it's embarrassing, isn't it?
It is, but it's not just embarrassing. It's also reckless, given where we are already with the debt. The debt more than doubled since the last recession. And now forecasters are talking about the potential for another recession, possibly in 2021. And this recession the United States will enter with a lot less fiscal space, much less flexibility to try and smooth things over, because that's what they did in the last recession, and there's just no fiscal space to do that this time around.
So how do we ever get it under control? Because the problem is this. Every time they run for office, and it doesn't matter what, we're going to get debt under control and spending under control. And it's a blatant, bald-faced lie every single time. They never do it. They never pay attention to debt and deficits and the problems that we could face as a result.
They only do that when the American people demand it, and there are very few periods in time when that has happened. And the last time we saw action on spending and the debt was in 2011, with the Budget Control Act, and it was because of the Tea Party movement who said the buck ends here, and John Boehner, who was Speaker of the House at the time, and President Obama had to make a deal to reduce spending and the deficit, and it worked for about 5 years, but because, you know, not one Congress doesn't want to be bound by the last, they have it hasn't worked since President Trump came into the White House. That's how we got this most recent deal. But now we have no fiscal restraints left, so it's time for something else. And what I think that needs to be is much bigger and broader. I think we need an agreement as a nation that we're going to live within our means, and the only way to anchor that into our system is, for the long run, is to make it part of our Constitution, a constitutional balanced budget amendment, and enforcing it with a spending limit. So it's not tax increases that get us to balance, but it's spending cuts, which is where it should be.
Well, how do we get there, though? I mean, here we are because, obviously, we're not going to get there anytime in the next couple of years, Romina, because with this deal has just been made, no spending limits, basically. The brakes are off. It's just freewheeling down the mountain as fast as it'll go. The train is hurtling out of control. And the fact of the matter is, the bills are due at some point. And that's true whether you're Greece or Portugal or the United States. When you have bills that are due, at some point they're going to come and they're going to knock on the door. And whether it's owed to China or Germany or Japan, or some of it's owed internally, $8 trillion of those debt dollars are owed internally, department to department. I'm not quite sure how that works on the accounting sheet, but that's my understanding. What do we do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, the bills aren't just coming due in the future, but we're already paying the price for them today, and it comes in two primary forms. One is the interest on the debt, which is 8% of the budget now, and will exceed what we spend on all of Medicaid next year. And in 5 years, interest on the debt will exceed what we spend on our national defense, on the entire Defense Department. So we're already paying a high price for this debt. And the other price that we pay is reduced opportunity, slower growth, because this high debt drags down economic growth. And that's a little harder to see, but it's just as real as a price that we pay. What do we do about it? Well, right now we know that they've lifted the debt limit for 2 years. So the American people should pay close attention to what lawmakers are doing in Washington, because there's no debt limit in place, and because we are seeing so much reckless spending under this current political configuration. it's up to us to be vigilant and to hold lawmakers accountable. And people need to care again about the debt and deficit and realize it is their money that Washington is mismanaging and squandering and holding them accountable with, for example, no budget, no pay. That is one proposal that was introduced in the Senate by Senator Braun, and that would hold lawmakers accountable. If they don't pass a budget, their pay would be withheld.
Right. Well, you know, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if every law, I mean, this should be a constitutional amendment. Any law passed by Congress must apply equally to members of Congress. I think that should be, you know, mandatory. Mm-hmm. It doesn't read that way, but just for sport, Romina, I think that should be important too. But here we are, and we have these conversations daily, honestly. Since I've been around, the conversations about we're spending too much, we're not paying it back fast enough, and you go back, you know, to how much money was spent by the Obama administration, how much debt piled up then. And now, for the next year or two, we're going to pile up apparently more per year than we've had, because I think since Donald Trump's been president, we've added, what, $2 or $3 trillion to our debt. Is there a point, is there a point of no return?
In the United States context, you know, there is the potential for a severe fiscal crisis with global implications that could be triggered by over-leveraging of debt. But we could also face a very different scenario, like a very long period of slow growth where living standards aren't rising to the same degree that they have in the past, where younger generations don't have the same opportunity and don't enjoy the same or better prosperity than has been the case in U.S. history. And that could be slow, but nevertheless painful. You just won't go out with a big bang, but with a whimper. That's sort of what we've seen in Japan, which carries a massive debt load,
right,
where their economy just hasn't been growing very fast.
And they had a 10-year period of pretty much flat or negative growth, right?
Yes, and, you know, it has implications, not just for people's pocketbooks, although it matters there too, but young people unable to get jobs, growing depressed, and creating other social pathologies. Those are the kinds of things that happen as well. When people can't find meaning through work, they're unable to support themselves and their families. Like, those opportunities, when they're gone or when they're significantly reduced, it has a vast impact on people's lives that is so much bigger than their pocketbooks.
Absolutely true. A job is part of your identity.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
and so we're stealing opportunity from future generations by allowing the debt to increase.
Yes. Yeah.
But it just seems that, you know, Romina, we have this conversation over and over again, and it never improves. But maybe we should be an optimist. Maybe something good will happen. I'll give you the last word, 15 seconds.
Yes. We can still turn this around, but we need to hold lawmakers accountable. We need to start now. And I do think if the next recession comes, it will be a critical opportunity to put in place stronger fiscal restraints, to put the budget on a path to balance, and live within our means.
I hope that we do, because that would be the right thing to do. All right. Romina Baccia here from the Heritage Foundation, talking about economic debt and the problems it faces for future generations. Thank you so much. We'll be right back on the Steve Gruber Show.
Thank you.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Wendy Block, Vice President of Business Advocacy for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. The Michigan Chamber has been the state's leading business advocacy organization for the past 60 years. Every day we work with state lawmakers in Lansing to promote and support policies that are essential for job creation, economic growth, and free enterprise. Our advocacy team defends business interests and actively promotes pro-business legislative initiatives. Whether it's education, environment, healthcare, or infrastructure, we are committed to standing up for all businesses, large and small. The Michigan Chamber delivers powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. We are proud to be the leading voice for business in Michigan.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward. forward.
So, you're finally ready to lose weight. Maybe it's so you won't need medication for diabetes, blood pressure, or high cholesterol. Or maybe it's just to look and feel better. Whatever your reason, MyPureHealthSolutions.com can help. MyPureHealthSolutions.com will customize a weight loss program designed specifically to tackle the hormonal imbalances that cause you to be overweight. It's a program that can be done anywhere, on any schedule. Learn more today at MyPureHealthSolutions.com. MyPureHealthSolutions.com. That's MyPureHealthSolutions.com.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 855-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This message sponsored by OK to Say and MAB.